You're listening to Unique Leaders Podcast. I'm Megan DiMartino. Success is in the story. Each week, I'll be speaking with a unique leader, not only in their field, but in their lives. Join us for a glimpse of their passion and talents. There's always a surprise in their story. Be the first to hear. Hello, 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 and welcome to Unique Leaders Live. I'm Megan DiMartino, and I am thrilled that you're here with us today, exploring another unique leader's life. And the reason I do this show is to share with you tremendously unique individuals who have a story, and the success is in the story. So today we're going to have an opportunity to have Christy Morgan share her story that is going to just resonate so with so many people, because her story is so varied and what she does is so varied, but so very inspirational to the world, basically. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you my guest today, Christy Morgan. Hello, Christy.
Hi.
And welcome to Unique Leaders.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. So we met briefly in June, my first plane trip. And you live in Arizona, but we had the blessing of sharing a weekend together in Arizona at Sharon and Michael Lechter's ranch. And it was a wonderful weekend of exploration. And at that time, I did get to know you a tad and a bit of your story. But as we all know, I apologize, I'm at the tail end of a cold. So if I cough a few times, I apologize. But, you know, in a weekend like that, you hear pieces of people's stories, but you don't hear the whole story, what brought you to that moment in time. And so we're going to just go back, Christy, to where you, you know, were born and where you started your life. So share with our guests a bit about the young Christy and the beginning Christy.
Absolutely. I was born in Leamington, Ontario, Canada. So I'm from Canada originally. I grew up in a small town right on Lake Erie. And my whole family was pretty much within, you know, a mile and a half of each other growing up. I had two brothers, mom and a dad. We lived next door to my uncles and my dad's work. And it was just a great town growing up in. And I was there for 19 years before I decided to jump in the car and cross the border into the United States to go to school.
Wow. By yourself?
By myself. Yes.
By yourself. Wow. Yes. Okay.
So sorry. Go ahead.
No. So I was just going to say, so continue.
Yes. So I was ready to finally leave our town, and I signed up for chiropractic school, and I got in St. Louis, Missouri. And so I drove 10 hours there in my car, packed up my car, said goodbye to everybody. And that's kind of where my life started again, in St. Louis. I went to chiropractic school at Logan College of Chiropractic. And that's where I would meet my future husband, which I didn't know it at the time. We were both in school there. And so I lived in St. Louis for about 4.5 years, getting my degree. I got my doctor of chiropractic. And then my husband and I, we started dating kind of closer to the end of the school, kind of when I was getting ready to graduate, and decided that we wanted to stay together. And so that when I graduated, I didn't end up going back to Canada. He and I moved to Pennsylvania.
So before we go into Pennsylvania more deeply in that stage, I just want to take you back to that fabulous childhood. I mean, that is such a unique in itself childhood to have your family right there. I mean, I guess on some level, if you're, you know, doing something in your teen years that you didn't want the whole town to know, might have been a little challenging, but what a nurturing environment that was for you. Was that the case for you?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. So I was in a unique situation. My grandfather owned all of the ambulance and EMS services in Southern Ontario, and a lot of my family members worked there. So my uncles, my great uncles, my cousins, my dad. My mom was one of the first 911 dispatchers. When I was a baby, the phone was in her bedroom where she would answer the 911 calls for the area. So when I was, the ambulance space was right behind our house. And so when I was little, I would just go through the back gate and I would go see my dad at work. And I had a cousin who was my age and her dad lived right next door. And so we would hang out and play together all the time. And so it was really awesome. I was, I had a really big family. We were all very close. I knew my second cousins, and even some of my third cousins. My great grandma, my great great grandma was still alive at the time. My great grandfather, and so it was a very fun time growing up.
So here, this very close knit family, and as I used the word nurturing, meaning because everyone was feeding into you as a young woman. You have grandparents and cousins and second cousins and so forth. So what prompted you to, there's two questions here. What prompted you to be interested in chiropractic school? There has to be a story behind that. And why in the States? Why didn't you stay in Canada?
Sure. So I really wanted to be a surgeon of some sort. I always knew I wanted to be a doctor, with my family being in the medical field, nurses and EMS and all that kind of stuff. I knew I wanted to be in that space. And I couldn't decide between dentist, doctor. At one point, I wanted to be a cardiovascular surgeon. I guess I didn't realize, you know, everything that took. And I just couldn't really figure out where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do. And I started shadowing people in my town. I shadowed my dentist once. I wasn't too crazy about that. And so I decided that probably wasn't my calling. And then I shadowed my chiropractor. And I really loved how they were treating people holistically, how they were getting people better without pills and without medication. And so that's just something that I thought would interest me. And so I applied. Yep, I applied to chiropractic school, and there's only one or two in Canada. So that's the reason, really the reason why I left. It's very difficult to get in. Most of the schools are in the United States. And so I only applied to one. I only applied to St. Louis because I had gone there. I researched them all and I just really love the campus. It was just so beautiful. I had gone there to visit one time and I fell in love with it. And so I applied and I got in. And so that's the reason why I went to the States.
It's a beautiful city, St. Mm-hmm. Louis. I've been there many times. And were your parents and grandparents and family torn about you leaving? How did they take this decision of yours?
They were really sad. I'm really close to all my family members. And so it was hard when I left. I mean, I think we all cried quite a bit, but they know how independent I have always been. And I was probably, you know, just a few family members left. I was probably only one of maybe four or five that kind of went further away. Mm-hmm. And so it was just, they trusted me. Yeah, mm-hmm. They trusted me and they knew I could do it. Mm-hmm. So it was okay.
And that's one of the things that I would say, Christy, that resonated with me when meeting you in June was your strength, not just confidence, but strength and strength of conviction. So you just mentioned that as a young woman, you shared that your family knew that how independent you were, just like the shadowing of the docs, you know. I can just see little Christy or, you know, young woman Christy, you know, approaching these doctors and whomever. Mm-hmm. To come and shadow them. So your first recollection, I would say, of yourself from that independence, share with our guests, you know, a story that you might remember of something unique that, or somewhat, you know, showing and displaying that that independence.
I've always been independent. So that's kind of a hard one. I think I just wanted more when I was living at home. I mean, a lot of people do extremely well that come from my town, but I just needed to get out. It's still a small town. And so I just was ready to go away. So I think my biggest feat of independence was just jumping in my car and driving the 10 hours on my own and crossing that border and I just kept driving. And I think that was the first time where I really felt like I can do this and I can leave, I can be okay. I lived in the States for about 5 years before I got married and I was ready to come back. I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do when I was done with school. And so that was kind of a turning point for me, but just getting in that car and driving and trying something new. I think that was my biggest accomplishment.
Yeah, I agree. That mm-hmm. is courage. Mm-hmm. And most people will waffle and, you know, might have that desire to have that experience, mm-hmm. but that at the 11th hour, make the decision to not, take that plunge and that step. Mm-hmm. So that truly absolutely is indicative of that courage that continued on and that strength and independence that, you know, it has been a part of you throughout your next phase of life. Mm-hmm. So you connected with Mr. Morgan.
Yes.
And he also finished chiropractic school.
Yes.
Yes. And so why Pennsylvania? How did you both decide to go to Pennsylvania from Missouri?
Well, he's originally from Pittsburgh. And so since I was from right across the lake in Canada, I was right on Lake Erie. So we decided to go back to where he lived because we had family there. We actually went to Erie, Pennsylvania, where he went to school. So he lived in Pittsburgh, which is about 2.5 hours away. I thought that I would be close enough to home so that I can just drive around the lake and get home pretty quick. But soon to realize that it was still a 5.5 hour drive and I didn't make it home very often. But that's why we decided to go. And we both opened up separate offices out there. And we lived there for about 5 years before we had the opportunity to move to Arizona.
And what year was that you folks moved to Arizona?
We moved in 2009.
Okay. So you've mm-hmm. been there a little over 10 years.
Almost 12. Oh. Yep.
So you moved to Arizona and you said you had the opportunity. So what opportunity arose that brought you to Arizona?
So we had, that was kind of right around when Facebook was starting to get big and you were starting to meet people on Facebook who you hadn't seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I had reconnected with a friend of mine from chiropractic school. And when we all graduated, he was friends with Tom as well. And so when we all graduated, he went out to Arizona right away. And he had been living here for about 4 years. And we went to Pennsylvania, we went separate ways. And they were expanding practices out here and he was looking for people to come and open up businesses. And so we just connected on Facebook and he said, hey, if you ever wanna come to Arizona and check it out, we've got some openings. I think his saying was, you can't shovel sunshine. That was the saying that he kept using. And we were getting tired of the snow. And so we decided, let's just do it. And I had to take Tom out for dinner and have a very heart-to-heart conversation with him about, you know, what we were doing in Pennsylvania and how the winters were looking and, you know, how we were kind of getting sick of the cold and what it would look like to move out to Arizona. And just to at least get him on the plane so that he could come out here and take a weekend and take a look. And so that happened. And
just to get on the plane.
Yes. He knew we were only here for the weekend to see it. And he knew as soon as we got off the plane and felt the heat and saw the palm trees that we were never going back. So mm-hmm. that was the start.
Yes. And so family was just like you said earlier, you know, a plane ride or a drive mm-hmm. away. So it was again that independence, that courage, that thread that continued on with you. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you said to get Tom even on the plane. So mm-hmm. I would say you're the trailblazer of the two?
Kind of. Mm-hmm. I think I'm the, how would I put it? I just tend to do things and he likes to think about things a little bit more and I just mm-hmm. tend to jump in and do them. And so he, sometimes I have to drag him along kicking and screaming, but it works.
It's a good balance, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Really is a good balance. So you both moved. And by this point, I do know you have children. Mm-hmm. You had your children already. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. So my stepson, Will, he was, Jackson was three. Will's a few years older than him. So Will lived in St. Louis, and he would come and fly to see us in Pennsylvania on all of our breaks. And so that was kind of hard because wintertime, you have kids that are coming in the winter, and what do you do with them, that kind of stuff. So my son Jackson was only 3 years old. So when we moved to Arizona, he didn't really know any better. He hadn't started school yet. And Will was so used to flying and coming to see us on every break, Christmas time, summer, all that stuff. It didn't really matter where we were. And it was just so much nicer for the kids because in the wintertime, we're outside playing at the playground and, running through the water parks and swimming in the pools. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Pennsylvania, you're bundled up in snowsuits and not really doing anything. So it kind of changed our lives, actually.
Yes. Yep. It's like a vacation for your stepson versus, mm-hmm. like you said, bundled up in the house.
Absolutely.
Just being there. Yeah. So that's lovely. Yep. And so with your colleague from school, he had been there and established businesses. And so he said to you, there was an opportunity. So mm-hmm. what did that opportunity look like?
So they were starting up new offices. And so when we came here, Tom and I are, I've always been very independent. And when we started our offices in Pennsylvania, I really wanted my own. We are both doctors. I did not want to be his wife at the mm-hmm. office. I wanted to have my own practice. So we started them about 20 miles apart from each other. And when we came to Phoenix, it was the same concept. There was an office on the west side of town, which is close to an hour drive that he went into. And then I went into Scottsdale, which is about 25 minutes away. So we had our own practices. Both chiropractic offices, we ran them, we own them, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, very interesting mm-hmm. because you think of couples possibly working together. Mm-hmm. That's often a challenge. And this is you're collaborating, meaning you're partners, so to speak, but you're independent. That was a very smart concept, Ms. Christie.
Thank
even
you.
Back in Pennsylvania, because it was, I have not worked with a mate, but I have worked with people that I've known closely, and that sometimes has a challenge. There's no doubt mm-hmm. about that. So it really is a very interesting, same industry. You can talk shop, business partners, so to speak, but yet you had your own independent structure. Very,
right.
very interesting. And so you continued that model in Arizona?
We did for quite a long time. And then once Jackson started getting to be a little bit older, Will was a little bit older coming to visit. And we were like in that stage where we didn't really need a babysitter anymore, but they were, they couldn't stay home for too long by themselves. That is when we decided to merge our practices. So we had an opportunity in Tom's office. There was another partner in there and they were leaving. And so actually I bought into that office and so that we could own the entire clinic together, which worked out amazing because, we were working, you go to the office at 7:30 in the morning, you come home at 7 o'clock at night, you do that for 4 days a week, you have your Fridays off. And it gets to be very difficult when you have a small family. A young family. So as the kids started to get a little bit older, I wanted to be around more for them when they got off of school and things like that. And so having the practice together at that point was better for us so that one of us could come home and have dinners with the kids while the other one stayed till the office closed and then we can switch off. And so that's kind of how we did it. That's how we did it once the kids got just a little bit older and we were spending more time. Will was here longer with us in the summers. So it was, I'm really glad that we did it that way and we didn't jump into practice together right from the start. We had our independence for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And learned your style of business and how mm-hmm. you ran your businesses. Yes. And then mm-hmm. your own expertise, because no one is the same and everyone has their own focus and personalities, of course. when I met you, you shared that, and this may be the foundation of this, but you shared that you had put together a very unique concept with your partners, which also enabled you to have more freedom and flexibility to evolve into other things. And we'll go to the other things in a minute. But so share a little bit about that concept.
Sure. So our offices, we were always just chiropractic, and we talk about pivoting. I see you posting about pivoting and having to make adjustments in your life after you've done things for so long the same way. And we're very insurance heavy, and we've got four big insurances here, and two of them dropped chiropractic probably right about a year after we got here. So we had to start being innovative and thinking, how can we expand our practice? And so we became medically integrated. And what that means is we brought nurse practitioners into our office. We started doing some more medical procedures, and we really started marketing ourselves as being a one-stop shop for patients who wanted both chiropractic and medical without prescribing medication. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of procedures. We do a lot of durable medical equipment. We do chiropractic, massage, PT, things like that in our clinics. And after doing that for about 4 or 5 years, well, maybe a little bit longer, 6 or 7, we started expanding again and getting more into a different type of space in which now if a patient needs like a joint injection or if they need an epidural of some sort because they have more of the chronic type of pain, we can handle that as well. And my partners and I decided to bring the doctors into one spot so that everybody can utilize, can jump on it, utilize economy of scale. We didn't have to have doctors in every clinic, even though we have clinics all across the valley. And so we really started to help each other. We started to share staff and things like that. And we really created a model where other chiropractors can also give their patients the type of care that they want to give them without having the added expense in their clinic. So it's really working well. Our patients are getting the best treatment possible. I can help anybody. If you come in and you just want to get adjusted, that's perfectly fine. But if you were in a car accident or you have more chronic type of pain that you've been dealing with for a long time, we can help you with that too. So that's kind of the model that we set up, and we all help each other.
You know, you shared the genesis of this was when insurance was taken away from chiropractic.
Right.
And how many chiropractors just left, stopped?
A lot.
Wow. Yes. I have been in the health wellness industry, so to speak, in different direction or different structure for many years. But I know that lane and many. So instead of saying we're toast, we're done, we have to find a new job, I call it evolve. You see, to me, you know, today the word pivot, but you took the base of what you do, which, and you said back as a young woman, you wanted to help people, you wanted to serve people. And so that was the essence. And then you evolved. And then here is this potentially very destructive situation to your company, to your careers, and you then evolved. You took that foundation and you evolved and you built a fantastic base. And here in 2020, you had another challenge. You know, you were told to lock your doors. And so how did you fare during the real lockdown? How did that go for you and your company?
Well, I mean, COVID was hard for everybody. We are deemed essential, so we were able to stay open, which is good. But we had to put a lot of precautions in place. And when we had the stay-at-home order first come out, we had to really navigate it and just make sure we were doing everything correctly. We were allowed to be open. We had to make sure our patients were safe when they came into the office. And we had a lot of patients who just didn't want to leave. They didn't want to leave their homes. They didn't want to come in for their appointments, which understandably so. Everybody's, you know, nobody knows what's going on. So it took us a couple weeks to really get our footing back and get everything in place to where now the patients are comfortable coming back in. We're screening them. I was sitting outside. It, I mean, it's 100 and 115 degrees here in the summertime. And I put up one of those tents and I sat outside because we didn't have the staff. So that takes an extra staff member to sit outside, screen people, their temperatures, have them fill out a COVID form. So in, you know, I didn't have the staff. So I would go into the office every day and sit outside and do that because we needed to make sure our patients were safe when they walked in the door. I needed to make sure my employees were safe. And we're still doing that right now, but at least things are starting to calm down a little bit. And we're able to allow them to come into the office in order to, you know, get their temperatures and stuff. So that works out well. But that's kind of what we had to do.
Well, you know, again, that's another point in an entrepreneurial's journey is you do what it takes. And here, it, you know, like you said, you didn't have the staff, so you did it. You did it.
Absolutely.
But also, creatively with the tent, you know, and because in Texas, yes, it's warm, but we had the opportunity at the spa to have the person call, meet us at the door, open the door, you know, and have our little station right there by the door. But you do what it takes. It's an amazing dynamic. You do what it takes.
And that's what we had to do at, so we have surgery centers. And so that's what we had to do at our surgery centers is when we do, we've got patients spaced out more at the surgery center. So they would come in every 20 minutes, maybe every 30 minutes. So they would call us, they would sit in their car, they would call us, we would walk out with the paperwork. So that way they weren't sitting in the waiting room with a bunch of other people. They were in their car. And then when we were ready for them, we would bring them in. But at the clinics, we could have five patients show up at once and we wanted to make sure we were spacing them out properly. So that's why the tent outside, but we've had to adapt and just try to figure out what works best for every scenario and just roll with it.
Just roll. Yes. With a happy heart and a smile on your face.
Yes. Just
because it's a, they're dealing with this themselves. So you now, now this is September and or October.
October.
And so you, I'm going to take a little pivot here.
Okay.
And you have shared, you know, again, the genesis of serving people, helping people, working with people. And again, going into the chiropractic field. So i.e. pain and challenges that they're experiencing. But at some point, you joined, I think you joined a nonprofit called Candle Wishes. And so share with our guests a little bit about that, Christy, because that, again, there's so many pieces to that. But let's start with how did you start or when and how did you get involved with Candle Wishes?
Sure. So we have been in practice for, you know, almost 12, a little over 12 years here. And it got to the point about 3 or 4 years ago where things were running extremely well. I had pulled myself out of the business. I really didn't have a lot to do in a day, even though I was this, you know, I am the COO and I run all of the operations, but I had created such a great team that I didn't have a lot of work to do. So I was starting to get bored. I hate to say that because I don't want to sound like, you know, I don't want to sound bad, but I was really starting to get bored with what with life.
Well, you were ready for another challenge, Miss Christy.
Yes, that's what it was. That's what it was. I was looking for more of a passion. I didn't have anything passionate in my life. I had my family and we did a lot of vacations and then I had my work and that was it. And so I was in Nashville, Tennessee. I was at a conference and I happened to have lunch one day with one of my friends and she had brought somebody along. It was just very random. And her and I started talking. Her name is Jenny. And she was telling me about this charity that she has. And she was going on about how she throws birthday parties for kids, how she's been doing it for 15 years, how she works with the Salvation Army. And it just, it really just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, this is what I want to do. I didn't tell you, but when we were back in Pennsylvania, I had started a bounce house place where We bought a big warehouse. We put bounce houses in it, and we used to throw birthday parties for kids.
Okay.
So it didn't work out because I was doing too much and I had to get rid of it. But now I'm really feeling like this is coming full circle. So I'm like, I love, you know, throwing parties for kids. And now this is for children who are homeless. And so I asked her if I could bring it to Arizona, and she was excited. She wanted to, she's been wanting to try to grow it. And so that's been what I've been working on for almost the past 3 years. And I've got to say, it's definitely been a challenge because, we've had to learn how to take something that she's doing in a town of about 250,000 people and scale it into a city of 6.5 million.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kids here. Yeah. So I think I jumped into it too fast. I didn't have the funding. And so I've been learning how to take a step back and how to get funding for things, how to get the right sponsors. And then so that way, when I have children who sign up with their applications, I don't have to turn anybody away. So it's been 3 years and it's working out wonderfully. And I'm enjoying every minute of it.
I was going to ask you because folks, you need to friend Christy on Facebook. The other evening I was on Facebook and she had a video of her party room,
mm-hmm.
and where she collects all of her, oh my goodness gracious, clothing to gifts to, you know, the party stuff, you know, the plates and cups and, mm-hmm. you know, all the fun stuff,
yeah.
As well. And so do you have, like you said a minute ago, sponsors? Do you have sponsors that now work with you with this?
Yes, we do. We have organizations that sponsor our fundraisers every year. We're getting ready to throw our second annual golf tournament on October 24th. And so we've got sponsors for that. And that'll help. The money that we raise from the golf tournament will help to sponsor the kids for next year. And then we also go out into the community, and we want to make sure that we're asking, you know, just community members to help sponsor. So it's not so much about larger companies and organizations. It's really about, do you have children, and do you want to show your children what it's like to help another child have a birthday? So, you know, a child's $120 to sponsor, but if you can't do that, you can just buy a toy or buy one set of clothes and send it, and we'll put it in our toy closet. And when it comes time for us to put presents together, the clothes and the toys are sitting there, and then I can go up and just pick from there. So we're really grassroots. We've got, it's all volunteer. I do a lot of it myself, and I've got about four or five other volunteers who are dedicated to helping with every party that I have. And it's just wonderful.
It really is, Christy. And I, you know, I've thought about it since we met. You spoke about it there. And I think to myself, is this something I should do? So with that, because, for instance, the Boys and Girls Clubs, which are national, there's a Boys and Girls Club here in Georgetown, Texas, where I live. And I've been very involved with it over the years, philanthropically and every year at their gala, we have the young ladies who are going to be awarded something come to the spa. And, we do their makeup and let them get dressed there. But I was just reading in our local paper how they're struggling so because of this COVID. It's a mess. And their gala has obviously been canceled. Mm-hmm. And so they were speaking out for, you know, assistance. And I thought of you. But with that said, does the organization look for other areas to get involved? Is it something that they do want it to grow to other Candle Wishes, you know, chapters?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I think the hardest part is this is the first time that we've gone outside of the area that Jenny started it in. And mm-hmm. even in Tennessee, like it's Jenny, it's her mom. And again, it's just a handful of volunteers that have been helping her, her aunt, who have been helping her for the past 15 years. So you really have to make sure you've got people that you want, that, you know, want to help, or else you're kind of stuck doing it all yourself. And it does get to be very difficult because there's so many kids. We work with organizations who place children who are coming and families that are coming from homeless shelters, mm-hmm. who or they might have a house where they've got three or four families living in it, and the kids have birthdays. There's so many of those around around Phoenix. And so that's where we really get our applications from to vet the children. So that's the hard part, is just making sure that you have enough in you to continue. So, but we would love for it to grow. We absolutely would.
Well, folks, you're hearing this live. And if on replay, and Christy's information, not Jenny's, but Christy's mm-hmm. information will be here. So if, in fact, this touches your heart and it's something that you would like to get involved with, please do contact either you, Christy, mm-hmm. or myself. I can pass it on. But I also, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about several things. And one is one of Sharon Lecter shares that it is about solving a problem and serving a need. Mm-hmm. And the whole thread of your life has been about that. And, you know, again, reason I started Unique Leaders is because I hear all the time, oh, but you've done this, I could never do that. And my story, you know, I'm older than you, and so my story is longer, but it is about that thread of solving a problem and serving mm-hmm. a need. And everyone that I have interviewed, and their stories are different and their backgrounds are different, but it's about their heart and mm-hmm. what they, you know, have gone into in their lives and evolve. So with that, now here's Candle Wishes. Here is your company that you have, your partners, and, you know, have evolved that very uniquely. And now I hear through the grapevine and then see in the grapevine that you're now selling real estate. Mm-hmm. So you obviously didn't just jump off the bridge and say, I'm selling real estate. So you obviously had to get your real estate license. So how, my goodness gracious, did that start? And then how are you, how do you see, because you're a very busy gal, mm-hmm. how do you see that fitting into everything that you're doing?
Well, I have to say, I started 15 years ago.
Okay.
And it never came to fruition. When we were in Pennsylvania, I started taking the classes to get my real estate course, mm-hmm. To get my license. And I was just busy, and you had to take the classes in person, and I just never finished with it. However, we had a bunch of rentals in Pennsylvania. What we used to do was buy duplexes. We would live in one, and then we buy a second one. We'd move to it because it was a little bit bigger. We'd rent them out. And so that was kind of the first of our income property. I think we had three or four. We had a single family home. We had some property. And so when we got rid of it all when we moved to Arizona. And obviously, when you're coming from one area and moving to another, you don't realize, you know, it's the cost of living here is different. Homes are not the same price as they are in Pennsylvania. And so we were never able to get back into the investing side of real estate. Mm-hmm. And so a couple years ago, I started again in Arizona. I wanted to take my license, and I got halfway through the courses because you had to take them in person. And I was just so busy that I couldn't go there at nighttime and keep up with it. So yeah. COVID was, I don't want to say it, but for me, it was kind of a blessing in the fact that it put everything online, and the real estate classes ended up all being online. And so when we were kind of stuck at home and not going into the main office, I looked into it and I was able to do everything online. And so I think within like 2.5 weeks, I got all of my classes done. Wow. I just plowed through it. I did two classes a day. Because you were only allowed to do 10 hours a day. I did it all online. I took my two tests and I passed it. And I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with it yet. I would love to sell some homes. I would love, you know, I really love that aspect of it. But I also love the investing part. And we just purchased a house up in Munns Park, which is about 2.5 hours away, that we're having somebody remodel so that we can have it as a second home and do it as a VRBO. So it's just fun. It's just fun to do.
I'm thinking of getting my license online. Looked into it. I want the dust to settle and get a little more organized in what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. As I shared with my producer, Elizabeth, here, the other day, we were working with a webmaster and a podcast master, and she goes, "Wow." And I said, "We're building a new business." Mm-hmm. So, I want to get things settled and organized. But I'm sincerely thinking of it because I love, like you, just the creative investing portion. And mm-hmm. I love decorating in homes and so forth. Yep. So it's something I'm thinking about. But I don't think it hurts, like you said, to take advantage of the online course and the opportunity mm-hmm. and get it in your back pocket, because it's so interesting that you started it. And look at the two things that you said, the bounce house, the bouncy yep. house. Yeah, for children, because that's in your heart. Yep. And then the real estate, and you and your husband, Tom, did that investing back in the day. Mm-hmm. And here it's come full circle. I also, that is another key thing to unique leaders, it's that you see that thread of what people do. And so it is all what I know you would agree with me, Christy. Mm-hmm. It's about following your heart. It's yep. about who you are and following your heart, and write those things down, your goals, dreams, aspirations, mm-hmm. and they will, like you've said several times, come full circle. Mm-hmm. It's yes, and really amazing how things happen. Well, we're coming to the close of our time together, but I always end with the same questions. Now, again, we've spoken about Sharon Lecter a few times. Yeah. And we both know, and many people do know, that she was the co-author of 3 Feet from Gold. Mm-hmm. And I love the book itself and the story. And you know the story, but the story for folks that don't. Basically, the fictional part is about a gentleman from the East Coast who came out to the West during the Gold Rush days and bought a vein. And she was chipping away at it. And the locals were watching what he was doing. And he got frustrated and said, "This is never going to work," just like different times mm-hmm. in your life, just like when insurance stopped and different mm-hmm. dynamics happened, but said, "This is never going to work." And he sold the vein to a local guy who went and chipped away, and he was 3 feet from gold.
Yep.
So it's the begin. You have to begin, but you must continue on mm-hmm. and you cannot stop. Mm-hmm. And that is also the thread that you have shared today, that you and your husband, but you yourself have begun and continued and never stopped. Mm-hmm. So the other piece, though, 2-3 feet from gold, is Sharon's success formula. And it is your passion plus talent times association plus action plus faith mm-hmm. equals success. Now, I'm not going to ask you all of those, but what I do ask everyone, what is your passion and what is your talent?
My passion is helping others. That's absolutely my passion. And I think my talent is just figuring out problems. Yep.
A true problem solver. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that, again, solve a problem, serve a need, figure it out. Yes, mm-hmm. that's absolutely. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share with our guest before we sign off today? Is there anything you'd like to share?
I'm not sure. I'm really thankful that you brought me on. I love telling my story. I love telling people how, I'm just a little girl from Canada that decided that I wanted something a little bit bigger and better. And I looked for it and I found it. And I just kept pursuing everything that I wanted in life. And Sharon and I talked just the other day about taking action. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest takeaway for me is when you need to do something and you just can't figure out what, just take action. Even if it's just a very small step, it'll put you in the right direction. Action's where it's at.
It is. It truly yeah. is. And I always say, just take that small step. The second mm-hmm. and third step will be revealed to you, but yes. you have to take action. You have to take that first step. Well, thank you so much, Christy, for joining our guests. And this, as I said earlier, this, there are people on right now, but mm-hmm. this does, you know, stay on, and we got put it on YouTube, and it is on other platforms. And so people do watch it, you know, continuously. So Christy's information will be in the text of this. And so please do reach out to Christy and share this out because the story absolutely needs to be heard. Thank you, my dear, so very much. Yes. We'll see Bye. You soon. Be blessed.
Thanks.
So thank you again for joining me today and Christy on A Unique Leader's Live. And as I've shared it is earlier, it is so important to share this out to your friends and post it, because it is a story, as Christy shared. You have a dream, a goal, a desire, something resonating within you, but you have to take action. You have to take that first step. And the success is in the story. She just didn't end here. It was all of these steps along the way that led she to where she is today. So take that first step, and the second and third step will truly be revealed to you. So share this out. But also, if you haven't already, you've probably come on to this through my personal page on Facebook, but we are now building our business page, which is the official Megan DiMartino page. So if you would, please go over there and do a friend request and like that page and become a friend over there, because we will evolve this over there and be doing other things from a business position and assisting you with your needs. So it would be so helpful if you would go over there to the official Megan DiMartino page and friend us. And so also share this out. That is also truly, truly helpful. So we'll see you not next week in this genre, because I'm going to be traveling a bit, but there'll be some fun, unique things that I'll be sharing live with you, but not in this genre next week. But we'll be back the following week on the 19th for our new platform that we're going to be doing on Mondays called Teach, Motivate, and Inspire. And that will be a whole new show with just similar to Motivation Monday, but a little bit of kind of connecting more business and more real life practical structures with that. And we probably will have guests on that as well. And then during the week, I'm going to be doing a lunch and learn. And we're going to be doing information on the Novitas Bach clinical products. So that will be coming soon. And then, of course, Unique Leaders on Fridays. So lots going on here. And I look forward to sharing it with you. Have a wonderful weekend. And we'll see you next week, but not here with this genre. Be blessed. Thank you for listening to the Unique Leaders podcast. If we said something today that resonated with you, please connect with me at megandimartino.com. I have a free gift for you, my book, Hope and Possibilities Just Over the Horizon. It's never too early or too late to create the life of your dreams. And don't forget to head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. I would truly appreciate it. Be blessed.